at times it's becoming farcical. You have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form. This is not a Lions tour as we know
it. For the best Lions coverage this summer, subscribe to the OTB Rugby podcast stream on the OTB Sports app.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
Okay, so we have 6 games of 9 played. Finally, the first test match is upon us next Saturday, July 24th. Saturday just gone, of course, the Lions beat the Stormers in Cape Town, 49-3, 7 tries scored. Very happy to say we have Keith Wood with us, veteran of 2 Lions tours, the winning series in South Africa in 1997, and of course, part of the 01 tour of Australia as well. And Rory O'Connor of the Irish Independent is back with us again. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Joe. How are you going? You can actually say part of the losing series as well. I haven't quite got over it, but if I'm part of the winning series, I'm also part of a losing one.
Well, I thought that was implied, but I can emphasise the point if you like.
No, you don't have to. I'm just saying you were just. I thought you were being very nice to me.
Well, so I mean, I was trying to get off on a good footing.
I struggle with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I struggle with you being too nice too often.
No, fair enough. Threw away the 0-1 tour in Australia. Really should have won. In many ways, undermines the 1997 win. Keith Wood, great to have you with us.
Yeah, delighted, Joe. Thank you.
And then Rory O'Connor and I, of course, never lost a Lions series. Hi, Rory.
Hey, Joe. How's it going? Hey, Keith.
So the word seems to be, Rory, that Test 2 and 3 of this tour are going to Cape Town. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been in the winds for a long time, this story. You know, they've been talking about, Gatland has said it repeatedly since the start, but as far as I'm aware, it hasn't been confirmed. But it does seem like they're staying in Cape Town for the duration, which I think is good for the Lions in many ways, because I think it's an easier place to be. It's an easier place to play because it's at sea level. I think the climate will be more, you know, it'll rain a bit more and stuff like that, but it won't be as difficult to play in as Johannesburg. And the only thing is, I mean, it's obviously a very strange Lions tour. It's not really a tour in many ways, but it kind of takes away that sense of the Lions going to South Africa and challenging themselves by moving and playing in hostile venues, which the stadiums are empty anyway. But yeah, it looks like they're there for the remainder.
No games at altitude, sea level. That favours the Lions, I presume, does it?
It really does. Altitude is, it's amazingly destructive when you're not used to it. And there are a couple of plans employs under how you go about it. You either go up the day before and you just suffer the biggest chest burn you can possibly get or think of and imagine, or you try and get up there for 10 days before. In this instance, if it's only playing one test, maybe you're only up there a week before, you don't fully acclimatize to it. And to give an example to our listeners, what the altitude do, so there's a lesser amount of oxygen in the air. The first day we went down to train at altitude, we were to walk, and walking around the field, our heart rate was at the rate we'd be if we were sprinting. And it just takes time to understand it. And people who play it an awful time acclimatized to it an awful lot easier. That's why it's easier for the host team, because they're used to playing at that level and their body kind of figures it out quicker. But it's different for that reason, which is physiological, but then for physical reasons, the ball travels an awful lot further for throwing. Actually, for line-out throwing, it's not an issue. It's just something you have to figure into it. And also the kicking. A lot of balls from Northern Hemisphere players tend to go out the full for the very simple reason the ball carries an awful lot further, maybe 10 to 15% further.
Rory, I mentioned the Lions beat the Stormers 49-3 at the weekend, 7 tries scored. So that's the last of the warm-up games now, with the exception of the South Africa A game, and maybe to a lesser extent the Japan game. I don't think anybody is aching to see any more of these games. I think we're all pretty glad they're done with.
Yeah, they've been a disappointment, really, haven't they? The whole thing has been a little bit of a damn squib. I thought the Japan game was a decent game and a good contest, and I think the South Africa A game was really, really interesting. And I think when Warren Gatland and his coaches went to the conclave yesterday to discuss selection, I think those are the two games that really matter the most. But yeah, it's easy to forget that 4 years ago the warm-up games were really good, and the New Zealand provincial teams put it up to them, and you know, the Auckland Blues beat them. Those games mattered an awful lot, and I think they served the purpose for the Lions in that they made them tougher. But by the time they got to this test series, they've been battle hardened, whereas I'm not sure what they've gotten from these games in empty stadiums against really weakened opportunity. COVID's played a part for, you know, obviously, but it's been, you know, I do expect this week the rugby to be very good, but to date, it's been a fairly underwhelming tour so far.
Keith, what we can take from Saturday is that Robbie Henshaw played 57 minutes and that Alwyn Jones came off the bench and played 30. Do you expect both to start the first test next Saturday?
I'm uncertain. I've found it to be incredibly difficult because we don't get to see the training sessions, and that often wouldn't seem to be a case because you'd go on the matches, but for some of the points that Rory has said, the quality of the opposition just not up to scratch, and actually it's very hard for the players to raise their game to the standard they should have when actually playing in second gear gets them past it. And I was disappointed with a lot of the silly mistakes and the handling errors at the weekend. I don't expect to see those handling errors this weekend because I think everybody is fully tuned to playing in a test arena. So that's one side of it. But I find it very hard to look at selection with kind of a clean eye almost, because you're trying to compare players who are playing a couple of tough matches. So the A match was a tough match. And so you can have a look at that and say, yeah, these are the players who play well on that day. You know, they're really good. And then you have players who score four tries against poor opposition. They still scored four tries, but how do you compare one with the other? I think it's become very difficult. I thought Henshaw, for me, and if we take off the Irish goggles at the moment, I thought he tried to feel his way into the game. I don't think he got involved a huge amount, but actually I thought for the first 30 minutes the Lions were pretty poor, so, and the opposition were poor. So with that happening, it's hard to see, but his hamstring lasted 57 minutes. And if you rewound 2 weeks, you'd have said, well, he was going to be the guaranteed starting centre. So it's, if he can run at full tilt and play at full tilt, well, then I think he's a very good chance of starting. But I think we need an awful lot more from him than we got on Saturday.
Yeah, Warren Gatland wasn't effusive about Henshaw, you would have to say, Rory, at the weekend. He said, we wanted him to have a hit out. I think it was obvious that he needed the run. And again, there were a couple of things in his game that he'll look at, and given his experience and what he's able to do, I think he'll be better for that if he gets the opportunity next week. He definitely needed the game. He was tidy without being brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what much more Gatland could have asked from Henshaw. You know, it was his first game in pretty much a month. I think he's a very important player to the Lions, whether it's this weekend or in the following two tests. I think he will play a role in the test series, and I think he was picked with a view to being the top centre in the squad. I think he did what he had to do. I think he proved his fitness. There's enough quality there. There's enough credit in the bank, I think. And if you go back over what Gatland has said about Henshaw through the whole tour and the selection process, going back to when he picked him in the squad, he's definitely been viewing him as his first choice centre. The only thing is, Gatland, as a coach, wants you to train. He wants you to be available. He kind of is one of these guys, from what I understand, that kind of almost forgets about you when you're injured or you're out of form. If you're not producing your form, you're gone. So if Henshaw hasn't been able to do it in training, which is obviously we haven't seen, we're all very remote from this year, maybe that's a different story. But I think when you look at the options that are there, Henshaw stands head and shoulders above the rest. I think if the Lions are going to win this series, they need Robbie Henshaw, presuming, you know, the ill effects aren't there, that he hasn't shown up badly after that test on Saturday.
Yeah. Keith, further to your point, this test team feels incredibly hard to predict, more so than in previous Lions years. I wouldn't say any great combination has emerged almost in any department of the field. In previous years, sometimes, you know, 09, I think the two centres emerge very quickly as a pair. Do we have any pairs or trios on this tour thus far?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I find it very difficult. And look, COVID has caused huge disruption for this, because you've players isolating and players being left back in Johannesburg to isolate before they could catch back up with the team, and not training together. And then a very simple injury means that some guys play a lot of matches and you think that they're in the box seat, and then they're not, and they mightn't be. I think it becomes very difficult. I think you would have said very early that the two guys that seemed to work at 9 and 10 was Conor Murray and Dan Biggar. And that seems to have changed. That dynamic has changed somewhat. But you're reading, like, we're reading things into selection, which, like, there's so many players. I've never seen as many team selections change before the match actually starts in a tour. It's constant. It's so for myriad reasons as to why they're changing. So I think it is very tough. You look at the second round, you'd have said, well, do you know what? It's looking quite like, even though Toje hadn't been flying it, he then did play well for a period against South Africa A, and you do know what that guy can bring to a field. So you think, yeah, he's going to play. It looks like him, maybe in Henderson, though Beard has actually played well. Johnny Hill has played well, and they're very, very big, heavy men, and that's needed. And then Alwyn Jones comes into the frame, and he plays, and do you know what? I thought he played well. Mm. And he has a very different mentality. I think he would play until his shoulder broke, and I think it's a different injury from a hamstring, to take Robbie Henschel's view. If you have any doubt with a hamstring, you can't really play because it goes and you're gone. You can keep going with your shoulder. You know, it either works or it doesn't. Mm. It's pretty binary, you know, whereas the risk of tearing a hamstring is a big risk when you've just injured it. So if Alan Wynn feels he's good enough and able to play, I actually think his mentality is that, yeah, he'll just keep going till it kind of falls apart.
Yeah.
And I could see him start, actually.
Yeah, same. He was in the shape of his life 3 weeks ago. I doubt that's changed overly in the last 3 weeks. We'll come back to Alan Wynn in a second. Just to unpack some of what Keith said there about the Murray-Biggar situation, Rory, and the dynamic there. I mean, Biggar was meant to partner Murray against South Africa A, and then he has an ankle strain. So that partnership, that combination doesn't get a good run out against South Africa A, which probably would have been a chance for them to really cement their places. Keith said the dynamic has changed a touch over that pairing. Has it changed for Murray more or for Biggar? Where are we with these two?
Just to go back to your question, Keith, Joe, I mean, this guy called Russ Petty, who's pulled together, he's on Twitter, he's pulled together all of the selections that an Excel spreadsheet across. I'm just flicking through it here. I don't think he's picked the same front row, second row, back row, half-back pairing, centre pairing or back three in two games. They've all been different in every game. So, like, no combination has had a chance to bed in more than once, but maybe off the bench. So that's crazy for a Leinster. Maybe it's the lack of games. For Conor Murray, the signs are very, very ominous at the moment. From my experience covering Warren Gatland, he's not one of these coaches who does smoke and mirrors a lot in press conferences. He was asked about Conor Murray after the game on Saturday. Barely mentioned him in the question that was asked about him, and then he was asked about the scrum half situation, and he talked about Addy Price and Gareth Davies and didn't mention Murray's name once. So I think that whatever happened in a South Africa A game when Murray was captain, the one time he's been captain since he was named captain for the tour, surprisingly, I think shocked us all at the time, he appears to have carried the can for that game. And it just wouldn't be a Lions tour under Warren Gatland without a big story involving a big selection story involving an Irish player. I don't think he's going to start at the weekend. I think Gatland is looking at Ali Price to start and maybe Conor Murray to come on off the bench. I'm surprised by it considering everything we've seen over the course of the tour, but there's just this momentum behind Ali Price, and Gatland sometimes goes with feel, and I will be worried for Conor Murray starting the game this week.
He wouldn't be the only one, though, not so sure of Murray's form. Like, I was on Virgin Media at the weekend with Shane Horgan, who was picking his starting 15 and match 23 for the first test, and he didn't have Conor Murray even on the bench. So he really, for one, wasn't so sure about Murray's form. So Gatland won't be the only one if he's having some doubts.
I think you got to go back to Keith's point earlier. Like, what are you comparing? Like, Addy Price has played in the easy games, and Conor Murray's two starts have come in the Japan test and South Africa A. You know, he's behind a beaten pack in South Africa A. He's a scrum half behind a beaten pack. It's very hard to bounce out and dictate the play behind a team that's been absolutely monstered up front, whereas Addy Price has had go-forward ball in every game. Murray is a better defender. Murray, in the second half of that game, played a huge part in dragging the Lions back into the game. Now, he was making tactical decisions and things like that. Maybe that's stuff that's gone against him. I know 4 years ago, when Peter O'Mahony was effectively disappeared between the first and second test, Gatland talked about how he went quiet when he was handed leadership responsibility. Maybe Murray hasn't stepped to the plate in the way that Gatland expected. But I think it's quite harsh on Conor Murray to judge him against Ali Price. I think if you put Conor Murray in against the Stormers, Conor Murray will be the man of the match or will be close to it. He will be able to do all that stuff that Ali Price is doing. You put Ali Price in behind a beaten pack, he's going to look a very ordinary player as well. And I don't think he's half the player Conor Murray is personally.
Yeah. Keith, it's impossible to predict Gatland. So just give us your opinion on Murray's form.
Yeah, so when I look at Murray, and I said it after the South Africa A game, I think some of the decision making in terms of when to kick, when to speed the ball up, I thought the Lions kicked miles too much. And I do believe you need to kick at certain times in the game, but I have an issue with it would have been the first option. So a lot of the time that was Murray, and a lot of the time it was Farrell sitting back in the pocket. That dictates what's going to happen from it. And
sorry to interrupt, that's not really on Murray then, if that's game plan.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I don't know whether that is Murray reacting to it and slowing it down or whether that is game plan. So I'm looking at it not knowing the answer to it, rather than speculating with it. Also, I think you have to work to clear the ball. And I thought the detail around ruck time in that South African game was very, very poor. Which means, and maybe that's part of it, that means Murray thinks that the only option to do it is to kick it, because you don't want to be passing to one-out runners, because in circumstances playing against South Africa, they absolutely mash you.
Yeah.
And so the point is having very, very quick ball and not having to dig for it. And I would have said Murray was digging for ball all day, and that makes it very hard for him to play. So I look at Ali Price, and Ali Price is a very nippy nine. He likes to play fast. He reacts immediately to what's happening. When there's any bit of ball at all that's fast and no defensive line against it, I think he's very good. I think he's under pressure if he is to think his way through what's happening, because it's just not the style he plays. He's looking for the most part, a mercurial 10 that he can fling the ball out to, who's willing to have a cut always. Murray plays a more structured game. So for me, how are they training? How are they showing up at training? How are they training under intense pressure? Are they having those sessions where the pressure is intense because of a lot of the COVID issues? That makes it difficult too. I mean, I think it's an intriguing game, because you've a load of South African, I'm sorry, I'm jumping a little in point, but there's a load of South African players that have been in isolation, in quarantine, who are coming back, some who have had no symptoms, some who may have had symptoms. What protocols did they going back into playing an international game of rugby at full tilt? Like, how much have they trained, or what do they know? I mean, it's having a test series is pretty amazing at all. But I still, I bring it back to Conor. He's the best nine. Playing at that level and delivering on those big games, we know he rises to the game. Does that mean he'd be picked? I'm not entirely sure, because it depends what they're looking for at the moment, and it depends what they're seeing at training. But that's what I'm saying from the very start. How do you compare a performance against the Stormers, sure, who had no defensive line, compared to the Springboks A, who had a phenomenal defensive line?
No, I take that point. Steve Tandy said they had a 90-minute selection meeting on Sunday evening. He described it as robust, not least because they've no injuries either. So there's 41 players out there, just Finn Russell injured at the moment. Gatland was talking about tight calls in the back three in particular. And so it's so difficult to call this one, Rory, in particular. So take Gatland's point on the back three, for instance.
Yeah.
The point there is, they're all in pretty good form. They're all playing well. Like, it's a good problem to have. It's Liam Williams maybe getting a nudge ahead of Hogg is the sense, but you've Josh Adams who can't stop scoring tries. You've Watson. Van der Merwe's had a very good tour. There's the pace of Rhys Zammit, which must be very tempting. So, you know, on the one hand, you'd say, well, that's actually, you know, a great dilemma to have. And yet, back to your point about combinations, we probably are going into this game on Saturday, and unless some combinations have really emerged in training, you couldn't have any great faith in how the Lions are going to play, because there's been no evidence in the games of combinations. This is a game about combinations. The warm-up games are about finding them.
It's also about big match experience and winning big games against a team like South Africa. You know, I mean, those games that Merwin and Josh Adams were running in for three or four tries a game, like, they were nothing games. They were worse than what we get in the Pro 14. You know, they're not a good barometer for playing against the Springboks, who will have Faf de Klerk putting up incredible box kicks with really, really good chasers coming at you down, you know, and monstrous men coming to hit, smash you, you know, as soon as you come down. I mean, there's an issue over Liam Williams. You know, he was taken off after a HIA in the South Africa A game. He was the starting fullback last time around. That was really only because Stuart Hogg was taken out by Conor Murray. Stuart Hogg is vastly experienced international fullback. You know, I think would have travelled as probably the favourite to wear that jersey, but hasn't played many games. But does that diminish his status within the squad, that he wasn't able to play against the Stormers and the Sharks twice? And he did play against Stormers, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Does that take away from what Stuart Hogg is able to do on the biggest stage as a playmaker? If you don't go with that Owen Farrell 10-12 thing, you need a distributor for fullback. Well, Stuart Hogg can do that. Stuart Hogg can do that really well. We've seen that for Scotland. He works under Gregor Townsend all the time. He knows how he wants to play. So I would think Hogg has a really good shot of overcoming the fact that he hasn't played in those games, which would possibly shift Williams onto the wing. And I think Anthony Watson is the best winger in the squad, and he was also the starting winger 4 years ago. He's in good form without being as scintillating as a Josh Adams or a Duane Vernamura in the flat track bully style that they were. That would be the combination I would go for. I think Van der Merwe has a chance, but I think he's a suspect defender and he could be found out when he goes into this company. Josh Adams has scored an awful lot of tries, so he's got a very good chance. You're right, it's a really tough call. I think you go with Hogg. I think you go with your players with massive match experience. And for me, that's Hogg, Watson and Liam Williams. But you're leaving out some quality players. You're disappointing fellas who think they've had a great tour. But I think that's across the board, particularly, say, back three, back row, second row as well. You're leaving out quality players who haven't done anything wrong, really, over the course of this last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'll come to back row in a sec. Keith, same broad point to you about the lack of combinations getting game time together. Am I overstating this problem, or is this a genuine source of uneasiness as you head into the first test, the fact that so few have built up a relationship on the pitch over the last couple of weeks? Like, we're kind of banking on a lot of great work being done in training here.
No, we are. I mean, I'm uneasy about an awful lot of it. I just think it is making it into an incredible, it's always an incredible challenge, but it's making it into one more so. I'm kind of happy the false war is over and that we see test rugby, because and I think you have to have a look at what's happening on the next Lions tours, and even with the COVID, putting that aside, that we actually make certain that international players and test players are playing in the matches, because otherwise it just doesn't fit the bill. I mean, I think we need to be more demanding about what it is that we're looking for on the tour, because the countries need the Lions to go down, but they need them to be properly prepared. It can't be absolutely everything against them. So, look, I'd like to have seen better combinations. I'd also like to have seen standout performers. And it's kind of sounds wrong to slag off wingers for being standout performers, but a lot of the case, they have the gas to finish off on the end of good play between them. I do think Adams has a great eye for the line. And for me, when a guy's in that level of form, you don't want to not give him the chance, albeit against poor opposition. He is scoring for fun. And you want, if you're in that zone, you want to continue having them in that zone. But I'd like to see other people standing up and playing really well. It's been lackluster. And that's hard. So you're watching the game at the weekend, it's hard to get fully excited because you're frustrated with the Lions for not wiping the floor with them in the first half an hour. And then you're frustrated with the fact that they're wiping the floor with them in the second half entirely.
Yeah.
You know, and that the quality isn't there, that the energy isn't there on the side or the skills, because you also know how hard it is to get up for the game. So the only thing I would say about what will happen or what can happen for the Lions on the weekend is the Lions have to play at an incredible tempo. And I do think it's to try and tire out the opposition as much as possible at an incredible tempo. But that can't be through the guts. It just, it can't be. I mean, South African A's defence, which is the only thing we're able to go on, for a team that has not played, you know, any rugby together at all in 20 months, was phenomenal, truly phenomenal. So you have to move the point of contact away from there. You have to try and get behind the gain line. You have to make certain that you can clear rucks out really quickly, or not have any rucks at all, have almost a tackle and a pop off. You're looking to try and turn the big forwards as much as you possibly can to try and have a fast game. That's essential for the Lions to play. And that makes it easier for combinations, because, but if you're fighting for every ball and fighting to get back to everything, we haven't seen that spark outside the wingers, actually, in any of the matches. We haven't seen unbelievable ball carrying by the forwards, or players breaking the gain line, or players interlinking really, really quickly. They do interlink and they offload, and there's a lot of passing behind the back and setting up the second pod and all that sort of stuff, but actually not a lot getting over the gain line. I think we need to see more of that.
So back three is very hard to call. The centre partnership is very hard to call. We're not sure about nine. The back row is harder again to call. Byrne and Conan have had very good tours, in fairness to them, Rory. Toby Faletau hasn't really, and yet he has a lot of credit at the Gatland Bank. What's the back row? I don't have a clue. I couldn't even begin to figure out what they're thinking here.
Byrne, Curry, Faletau, I think. Okay. Faletau has credit at the bank. He's been the test starter at number eight for the last four tests. I thought against South Africa, he got them gain line at times when they didn't have it. When they were getting it elsewhere, he carries brilliantly in the wide channels. He's a player who, when I've watched him in person, has always impressed me more than I've ever gotten off him watching him on TV. There's an awful lot of caps behind him. I think he is probably going to start the game, which I think is quite unfair on Jack Conan, who's had an excellent tour. I think Curry versus Watson is very tight at seven, but I think Curry is just a slightly better player. He's slightly bigger, he's more robust. He offers a little bit more than Hamish Watson, who again has had an excellent tour and could have a big impact off the bench against a tiring defence. And I think you have to have either Courtney Laws or Ty Byrne at six, because the Springboks lineout is too good. They have Peter Steff at the top at blindside, who's an auxiliary second row, who's able to do it all. He's arguably the best player in the world. He was certainly named best player in the world in 2019. And you've got to be fire with fire. You can't put, in my opinion, Josh Navidi up against him. I think you have to go with a second row who can do the job there. And Byrne gives you jackal. He gives you ball carry, gives you handling. He's excellent in the line out, and he's had an exceptional year and an exceptional tour. So I think he is in a really, really good position to start, with Laws possibly on the bench to come in to replace Alan Wynn, or he could even start in place of Alan Wynn if Alan Wynn isn't strong enough or isn't fit enough, because Courtney Laws, again, has test match experience for the Lions and has been very good on this tour as well. So I think it's going to be Byrne, Curry and Faletau.
Okay.
Watson is very close, and Jack Conan will be very hard done by, because he's had a great tour.
Yeah, he's done very well. Clip here for you, Keith, of Tadhg Furlong. So he was asked if, and you can relate to this, if coming up against this Springboks front row will be the ultimate test from a playing point of view. Here's Tadhg Furlong.
Yeah, it's big boy rugby, isn't it? It's top end rugby, and you know, as a front five, it's a very good barometer where we're at.
And just from your own point of view, not alone can you prop, but you can now run pretty fast and pass as well. Is that other parts of your game that you've been working on for the last while?
I remember during lockdown there was a lot of Lions game on. There was a lot of Lions at 2017 tour on, and you kind of look back and you think of, you know, I'm not doing a whole lot in the game. You're working hard, yes, you're kick chasing, you're working hard on the inside and defence, but there's not a whole lot much more going on other than the set piece and trying to hit rucks hard. And I'd like to think that, you know, I've added a bit more to my game there, and I'm certainly not there with or at the where I can be with some of the aspects of my game. But I think that's part of role player, isn't it? You're always trying to push it on or drive on and get that a little bit better.
That's quite interesting from Tadhg Furlong. On the fight up front, I'm sure, Keith, you still wake up in a cold sweat thinking about Jim Telfer at times. So this was like almost a neurotic fear in 97, what the South African tight five might do to the Lions. How does the 2021 matchup look to you? Gatland was effusive and that talked about how he was delighted with the scrum and maul after the South Africa A game, for instance. How do you see it?
Yeah, it's funny, and I'm going to touch on the back row in a minute as well, because I have a bit of a disagreement from Rory. But I think our pack is, I think it's much better. Are they stronger than the South Africans? Yes, I think they can be. Actually, I think they can scrummage. Depends on who South Africa pick. I thought they had a rookie at hooker. I can't think of his surname.
Dweeba.
Say that again.
Dweeba. Joseph Dweeba, I think his name is.
Dweeba. It was Dweeba. I didn't think he was up to scratch. I thought Kitsoff is an incredible scrummager, but he tends to come off with 25 minutes or go on with 25 or 30 minutes to go. I don't think that the South African front row is any way similar to what it was like in the World Cup. I think the Beast retired. I don't think that level of strength is there, and I don't think that they've played a huge amount, so I think that makes it pretty tough. I think Tadhg Furlong is fantastic. He gets caught a couple of times where he goes long, and in that instance he falls over. I think he's really good. Any of the three hookers, I can't think of a time when we've had such strength and depth at hooker. I think the three of them, you could go with any of them. I think they're really fine. Cowan Dickies is a particular animal too, actually. He's pretty decent. And at loosehead, I think it's Gwyn Jones, actually. That's what it looks like for me. I think Vinopola has been pinged off the park too much, and I don't think you can afford the amount of penalties against him. And that's pretty much what it looks like for me. So for those, when I look at that front row, I say, yeah, that's strong. That's very strong. I wouldn't take anything for granted, because you know for absolute certain, and you can go back to the thoughts of Telfer in your ear, but South Africa set their stall out on being dominant at scrum time, and if you can destabilize that in any way, shape or form, that is a really, really good start on the way to victory. It really is. So look, I like listening to Furlong. I've always liked watching him play. There's actually a little bit of a joy to the way he plays, and for such a lump of a man. I think there's plenty there for that. But right. I think the Lions can win that part of the competition.
And then briefly, before I get some predictions from you, you said you wanted to mention the back row.
Yeah, I'm still, my worry still is, because of the size of the South African pack, I would have Tadhg Byrne coming off the bench, and I would want him to cause absolute carnage with half an hour to go. I would like Courtney Laws at six. He's the sort of guy that he's tall, big, strong. He would take, I think, a lot of heat out of the battle, and I think that would be a good way to start. If that happens, I would have Jack Conan on at eight. And I think Curry plays definitely at seven.
Mm. So, I mean, in terms of getting predictions, we've no idea what the Lions team is going to be. I mean, in broad terms, no obvious combinations have emerged. The warm-up opposition has been distinctly average, with the exception of South Africa A, who then beat the Lions, and that would have been a psychological blow of sorts, and that was a reality check of sorts. And then equally, how South Africa pitch up on Saturday, we can't be entirely sure either, for all the reasons you've mentioned, Keith. So in terms of predicting this thing, let's just go with first test as opposed to series. Who do you make favourites, Rory?
I actually haven't checked the bookies, which is usually a good way of checking. probably South Africa, I think. You're right. It's really hard to call, and it's a very easy way of making it easier to yourself by making bold predictions about this series. In many ways, it's stacked up in the Lions' favour, but then Keith has outlined the challenges that they've faced as well. I mean, we don't even know which 10 is fit, because Dan Bicker's been pulling out of games. Owen Farrell's carrying something. Finn Russell's effectively out, I think, of the series, but they've kept him around. And Marcus Smith is possibly the fittest 10 on tour, but obviously is not, I don't think, in contention to start if two of the three are fit. So, yeah, I think there's just this solidity about South Africa in terms of it's pretty much, the Beast aside, it's pretty much the same team. I
think we've just lost you. Are you gone?
Key leaders in different positions fall back on. They have this monstrous pack who beat up the Lions for 20 minutes at the start of that A game. If they could sustain saying that for longer. I just don't know if the Lions can stay in the game. And I just think the Lions are slightly just, they're possibly in a little bit of disarray in terms of, because of that lack of cohesion over the course of the tour. So I would back the Springboks, but, you know, I would have no faith in it, and I certainly wouldn't put any money on it based on what I'm saying anyway.
No, that's fair enough. And in fairness, we haven't even seen the teams yet, so it's a doubly hard task. But maybe that last point Rory makes, Keith, is the one a lot of people are looking towards increasingly, which is there is a higher guarantee, if not a complete guarantee, but there is a higher guarantee of a cohesive South African performance. And Test rugby, we got a glimpse of it on the whichever night it was, last Wednesday, the South Africa A game. Test rugby, don't make silly mistakes, be solid, pressure game. Often that's what it comes down to. The South Africans look a better bet at the moment to implement that kind of a game.
I think they do look a better bet, and yet I would go for the Lions to win the first one. And it may be almost the breaking of them to win the first one. So to tour in South Africa, and I know the Lions won the third test before, but it was the third test with a huge amount of changes that had been made to the South African team because they'd already won the series. You actually have to win the first game, and you put all of the eggs into that basket, because then you've a chance to wrap it up in the second week, and that's traditionally the way you have to wrap it up. And so I think you end up picking test animals to do a job, to go out and put every single ounce into it at the exclusion of all else. Now, people would say that that's the case for every game, but I just think the mentality for here is there is an extra added piece of fear that if you lose the first one, you might as well go home. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a great leveler and focuser. You know, there's no drifting. There's no idea that you're not going to start ready. You start ready. You don't have a choice but to start ready, you know. And I think it's the first time we see full concentration. And I actually think the Lions can do it. I'm basing that on the sort of sense of togetherness that you have inside the change room. I'm not building it or basing it on what I've seen on the rugby field, because it's very hard to gauge it. But the view would be, this is what it's all about. This is how you can hold your head up, is by delivering on that first day and the big fear that goes with it. And sometimes you can use that fear for a really big positive.
Okay, well, you whet the appetite anyway. July 24th, it gets underway. We have the game live. We've had all the games live thus far. So that is with thanks to Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. So we're looking forward to the game. Keith Wood, winner in 97, loser, of course, in 01. Lest you need reminding. Thank you.
Cheers, lads. Good luck.
Good luck, Rory O'Connor of the Irish Independent. Cheers, Rory.
Thanks, Keith. Thanks, Joe.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.